What a great day and a great week we've had and is ahead of us. And I don't know what you call it, the Christmas Eve week. The whole week before Christmas that is next week is all chaos and confusion and fun and family and all the good stuff that comes with Christmas. It's always been about Jesus, and it always will be about Jesus. Talking about Advent, which it sounds like I'm a little bit hot. You guys, not in any shape or the form, but my sound is high. That didn't even sound right.
Your volume.
The volume is up too high, it sounds like it. You guys okay, or is it just me? Somebody's in my head. Who's that guy? The Advent, the coming, or another word is arrival. You guys with me this morning already? I want you guys, this is going to be fun this morning. Enlightening, I love to do a themed message for a time frame. I really have a good time in that, if you haven't figured that out already. Coming into the Easter season, coming into Thanksgiving season, coming into Christmas season. And this is, again, just going back to just a rehash just real quickly last week, is that he came to seek and save the lost. Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. I mean, that to me, that truth, that I don't know if I'd seen it before, just that simple word, to seek. He came to seek. And that word is very, because that's the word that Jesus used as he's referring to Zacchaeus when he pulled him down and said, "Hey, I want to go to your house today." It's as though he's relentlessly pursuing us as his loved ones, all the world. I love that. And when I get that, not just about myself, but about others, that there's people, you know, the lostest of lost persons that you can think of, Jesus is seeking them. That's so cool to me. I can't get over that. And I don't want us to get over that. Not just this season, but throughout our life and our day and our year. And then he came to bless us. Acts 3:26. Let's go there real quick because I loved it. And then I'm going to jump into this week's He Came To, if you will, the Advent. Acts 3:26 says this: to you first, God having raised up his servant Jesus, sent him to bless you. Hello? Again, that promise is true, just as true for us, for you and I today, as it was that Peter preached this message to the very first preaching engagement was right then and there, and that message is still preached. It ought to be preached from every pulpit, from every church at all times. That ought to be the theme of it. He came to bless you. Jesus came to bless you. He was sent to bless you. And then this is the in. So part of your blessing is in, and that it's a very precise word, turning away every one of you from your iniquities. Hell, man, we got to talk about sin today. Well, let's talk about it, because that's why Jesus came. He came to deal with sin. Hello? Because it's here. It was here. The first Adam brought it into existence. Now it's here. And it's planted in here. You're born into it. Every single one of us are born into sin. So we got to deal with it, right? God's dealt with it. So now it's our turn to deal with it. Well, I don't know if that's theologically correct, but probably not. That's all right. So I'm going to read a passage of Scripture. It's John chapter 1. You know, every Gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, has its Advent story. This is John's. John chapter 1. Even though we don't have the cute baby manger scene, which we'll deal with that next week. That'll be fun. Next week we're going to do a cute baby manger scene. I don't know how it's going to look, Stephen. We'll figure that out. We're going to do like a fun kid service next week. I'm letting you know now, just in case you didn't hear. Okay, now you've heard. Yeah, we'll have fun. I know, I gave you a whole week. How about that? Yeah, praise the Lord. John chapter 1, let's read there. I'm going to start there and read through about 14 verses to be exact. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. It's all about Him. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Just really fast, this is probably one of the very few places that every other translation words it a little bit different. The word comprehend. The word comprehend is really apprehend or overcome. And it's been translated in the New King James Version as comprehend, because if you can translate the word and understand it, I want us to hear this, because that kind of sounds like the darkness did not understand the light, didn't get it. But it's not exactly what it is at all, because it's really worded in there is that the darkness was not able to take it in. In other words, it was not able to push it back, was not able to overcome it, was not able to resist it. Does that make sense? Amen. What's that? Not able to put it out. Not able to extinguish it. So that word comprehend kind of gives it a little bit like maybe some of you really get it, but it doesn't give me a comprehensive understanding of what that actually has happened here. Because that verse 5, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. That's awesome. To me, that's just totally awesome. I'm going to go back to that as I read the rest of this passage. Verse 6, it says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world, he was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Awesome. Praise the Lord. That's about Jesus coming, the advent of Jesus. And here's going to be the purpose in it. I'm going to focus on this morning, because this is really good. And in this focus is, as I look around and as I look at my life, and just was back there as we were worshiping and just really engaging in the worship, the Lord really just spoke and said, you know, there's every single one of us need Him. I mean, it just was like, wow. Do you ever get this? Do you guys ever do this? Maybe you guys have stuff that goes on in your head as you're worshiping, or are you able to just totally lose it in worship and just be like, I'm lost in worship, and I'm... No, you guys deal with that too, that issue of your stupid head getting in the way. And stuff starts getting reminded of me of what a jerk I am, and how, you know, I do this wrong and I do that wrong, and I'm thinking, no, I just want to love you, Jesus. And he says, it's part of that, I'm allowing, and this is kind of what he said in my spirit, I'm allowing you to understand how much you really do need me. you know, you're not all that, buddy. You don't got it all together, friend. You need me. You got some issues still. And I say, hallelujah. And then I just get more lost in worship. I don't know. So maybe it was that part of that process. But all that goes on in about 30 seconds. Yeah.
No, about 2 seconds.
Maybe, okay, all right. Hallelujah.
Just to get back to the fact of, you're right, I do need you. And it, I need you to explain it to me because I can't get it.
Because I want to see you guys, we understand this, and the light and darkness don't wrestle against each other. Just think about that for a second. So what's the battle? Why do we struggle against sin and its control in my life? What is the battle? Is it so simple that I'm just choosing to remain in the dark? Could it possibly be just that simple that I'm making a choice to remain in the dark? I think that there are cases that yes, that's the case. That is integrated into every little aspect of my life and yours. From everything that we do, everything that we think, everything that we watch, everything that we speak, it's just simply allowing the light to shine, because as light comes in, as the light turns on, does darkness, like, do you see this thing going on where darkness is like trying to like stay and remain? It doesn't happen. What happens? The darkness leaves. It goes away. The light comes in, the darkness leaves. So wherever I inject light, wherever I infuse light, I know I'm using words, but I want us to get as much, wherever I involve the light of Christ in my life, darkness leaves. I ran real quick this morning to get Robin something, to get a Starbucks for Robin, and then to fill up the car, get some gas, and put air in the tires and stuff, and it's pouring down rain, and it was getting wet, and as I was coming back, and I was like, oh man, and now I'm hurrying, and I'm scurrying, trying to get back, and I pull up to this light that turns red on me before I get to it, and there's not a single stinking car around. Nowhere. Nowhere. There's no car around. None whatsoever. And I'm like sitting there, and I literally, 1 minute is like 100 minutes when you're sitting there and there's no cars around and you're in a hurry, right? And I know it was only about a minute, but it was a long minute and there was no cars. And man, there's a lot of conversation going on inside of that head of mine in that minute. I mean, a lot of stuff was happening. I'm thinking, what goes on here? Man, how does that get in there sometimes? And here's part of the conversation was this, was like, well, nobody's around. I mean, what would be the difference? I mean, nobody's going to see, nobody's going to care. And what's the big deal? Just run the light. Just run, and there's nobody there. That probably wasn't said loud enough to be heard on the recording, but what I had to do was I processed the light and the dark really quick, and you could say, gosh, Eric, come on, really? But it was a simple process of when we do what's in the light, we do what's right, even if nobody's there to see it, yay or nay. It's like, okay, this is I waited. And I waited. And I waited. And I waited. Oh, yeah, I would have been, like, looking behind me and like, oh, man, was there somebody hiding? Was it a trap, you know, looking to see if it was. But instead it was like, okay. I mean, really, a minute? Did it really make me late? No, we got everywhere just in time. Simple, silly little thing. But it is a thing that we do what's right in the light, or do we walk in the dark and do whatever we feel is right in my own eyes? What is it? What is the battle? That was the question. Why do we struggle against sin and its control in my life? It's simply, I believe, it's because part of the battle, the biggest part of our battle, is choosing to remain in the dark. Let's go to John 3:16. This is really cool. I want you guys, most of us have read this. We've memorized it. Why do we struggle against sin and its control in my life when when the truth of the matter is Jesus has, as we just read in John, that whole Jesus has extinguished the dark. I'm going to get, this is really, if you stick with me, I think that we're going to have some really neat stuff for us to actually walk away with that is going to help us walk in the Lord. It's John 3:16. I didn't mark it. Where's that? John 3:16. Oh, it's actually just a couple pages over from John chapter 1. How about that? That's why I didn't mark it. I want us to read these passages of Scripture because it's enlightening, if you will. Listen to this. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that... Oh, here's what's really cool. I want you to notice this. Here's a Christmas and an Easter message in two words. He gave. Doesn't get any better than that. That's Christmas and Easter all wrapped up in two words. He gave. He gave. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He who believes in Him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation. Now what would you say from there? If you didn't have this and you didn't have that, what would you say, this is the condemnation? Now if you were writing the Bible, which I know that's like a, man, weird stuff goes in my head. Ah, where do you get this stuff from, Eric? I don't know. Those are the conversations I have. What would I say? Now, this is the condemnation. Here's what God says. This is it. That the light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. You hear? It's saying exactly what I just said. It's this simple choice of, I just would rather remain in the dark as opposed to turning on the light. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come into the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does, the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. God gets all the glory, not us. So here's the dilemma at stake. Can somebody back there real quick turn off all the lights that we can possibly turn off in here? Can you do that really quick? I didn't give him a heads up. Do you guys know how to... Possible. All right, that's most of them. What is this one going on here? It's like, what the heck? I don't know. That one. There it is. Now, I know it's a little bit dark, and we still have the light of the door and stuff out there, but that's okay. You can still see. But do you notice how it's... There's this darkness in here to where now I can't really read. I can't look at things and see clearly. But if we wait just about 30 seconds or so, here's what happens. Is our eyes have already, have you already seen it? Already adjusted to it. Now I can see faces. I can see a little bit. And if I wait long enough, I'll be able to read my notes here that I've got in big print. Not because I don't have good eyes, but just because it prints out that way. Yeah. But this is, and here's what we do, is we become adjusted to darkness so much so that we actually, we almost like to choose to stay in it, because now all the nooks and crannies of the ugliness of who I am can be hidden, concealed, to where nobody sees what I really look like. So I like to stay in this state of darkness. Now, go ahead and turn the lights back on. Please. There you go. Thank you, guys. I know you got to find it. Now you start, wait a second. Yes.
I'd like to mention right now.
Yes.
It just happened to myself. I found it harder to participate in the attention what you say.
Exactly. Amen. Amen. Because darkness breeds, it actually opens doors for confusion and distraction. It does. My little granddaughter, Addie, who's only 6 months old, I took her out last night. We were watching her, and it was really dark because the clouds were over, and we were doing something in the car, and she all of a sudden realized, whoa, I can't see anything. I don't know what's going on. This is a 6-month-old little girl, and she started, like, I was holding her, and she started, like, grabbing my face, trying to, like, make sure. That's it. Hey. Yeah, so, pull my beard. That's why Brian's never allowed to miss church. And if Brian is not here, then David's got to sit in Brian's spot. But did you notice something really quick? When the lights came on, what happened to the darkness? It just left. It left. It went away. It left. There wasn't a battle going on to where all of a sudden darkness, did you see dark, you know, the dark shadows trying to like fight their way back in and punch and be like, oh, I'm going to hide from the light. It just left. That's so cool. How simple. Is it possible? Is it possible that the gospel, the good news of Jesus coming to seek and save the lost, and restore mankind to himself, to have an intimate relationship with himself? Is it that simple that we just simply got to step into light, walk in the light in his spirit, and our darkness leaves? Confusion, pain, frustration, depression, things that keep us in the dark. If we just simply walk in the light and receive the healing that Jesus came in to give, and to remove our iniquities, he came to remove our sin. If we walk in that, that actually happens. Is it that simple, friends? Is it? I believe that there is yes to that. And I know that every life and every scenario and every past life and everything, I'm talking past pre-Christ life, that is when things that I've screwed up before I came to Jesus, and things that I've screwed up after I came to Jesus. There's issues in there. I know that. Is it still the same answer, though? Through those issues. I really believe it is. I believe it is. It comes back down to, yeah, Jesus is still the reason. He is still the answer. He is still the yes and the amen. His promises are true. And if Jesus has come to restore and to remove our iniquities, to remove our sin, that's doable. That's doable. I just gotta walk in it. Hello? I think that's here's what hinders us, the biggest thing really quick, and a few things actually. Romans chapter 4, I want to say there's a word, a biblical word, that's actually only in the Bible 2 times. But it's a biblical word that we use a lot as Christians. It's called justification. Yeah, it's a big word, but it's actually only in the Bible 2 times. And I didn't even know that until I was looking at it. I was like, oh, what? Are you serious? For real? 2 times. And they're right next to each other. Paul, writing in Romans chapter 4, says this, 4:25, says this, referring to Jesus. I'll go back to, just so we get an understanding of what he's saying here. Verse 23 says, now it was written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him as righteousness, I just added that word, it's not in there, but also for us, it shall be imputed to us who believe in him, that's Jesus, who raised up Jesus, our Lord, from the dead, who was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised because of our justification, or for our justification. He was raised for our justification. And then pop right over to verse 18 of chapter 5, and he says, therefore, as through one man's offense judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so, through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. Those are the only 2 places that word's used. And that's really cool. because that's summing it up to a T, I believe, to what our problem is Jesus and only Jesus remains still our only justification. Amen. Amen and amen. So what is the problem? Yeah, well, let's first define it. What it is to justify. What is that word it means? It simply is the act of pronouncing righteous acquittal. So there's an act involved in it. It's not just a word that is an action. The act of pronouncing a righteous acquittal.
Legal term.
That's a legal term, huh? Yeah. One that maybe I might understand a little better. It's the process of absolving. Absolving. That's also a legal term, but I get that. I understand that. So in Christ, in Jesus, now my sin is absolved into his body that he nailed to a cross, and therefore that act that he did on the cross by laying down his life for my sin was absolved into him. Now you, every one of us, and only through Jesus can we now stand before God acquitted. Only in Christ. Only in Jesus. Jesus came to absolve our sins. That's grace. And that's really, really cool. And that's why maybe God gave me a little reminder of how sinful I am back there while I was worshiping him. Because he's saying, every one of us, every single one of, there's not a single soul on the planet that can't get right with God outside of Jesus. Our complete justification is in Jesus alone. So what's the alternative if we leave Jesus out? What do we do? We're left with a few things that we can do. And this is kind of fun. I want us to think about that and talk about it for a second. Because this is what's happening. It's happening even in the church. When we leave Jesus out of the picture, we'll mention his name, but not this thing called blood atonement and the justification of our sins. Because if we have to be justified for our sins, one of the things that we have to deal with is define sin. Right? I mean, that is one of the problems. So in order to, not deal with that, like just really get nitty gritty in it and deal with the issue of it, let's just redefine sin. Right? Well, if we redefine sin, then we really don't have this soul immense desire to really need Jesus all that much. We could be, here's another, if we really don't have sin, we could be do-gooders. We could be do-gooders. Join clubs and stuff and have little meetings and say, let's pat each other on the back for the do-gooding that we do good about, right? How's that going to work out in the end? Not that great. Not that great. Because that's that place where Jesus said, you were one of those that were doing all these things in my name, but you didn't have the white robe on. You didn't have that white robe on. You didn't know me. I don't know you. You're just doing good to make yourself look good. You made yourself look good all your life, doing good, but it doesn't.
Nice guy.
Really nice guy. Oh man, deserving of heaven. How about that? A nice guy that deserves to go to heaven. That's the other alternative. The next one, the other alternative is simply this: if we can redefine sin, and if that doesn't work, then we could just let's be do-gooders. And if that doesn't work, let's redefine God. Let's make God in our image. Let's make God in the image of what makes my heart feel good about how God loves me and cares about me, and God is this and love wins in the end. Everybody's in. That's really cool. I mean, we got to set aside most of this, but this is all like, come on, 2,000 years ago, really? Do we really? Can't we just? Follow our hearts?
Isn't that more about God?
Brother.
That is a common thing in the world. Just people with signs about John 3:16, and I've had talking to him, he's a couple times, and have a conversation about those signs. And these people are thinking that that scripture is only about love.
Yeah.
And you know, even one of them said, "Is that right, Alfonso?" I went, well, a little more than that. We were able to mention Christ. It's about Christ.
You know, amen.
God loved the world, but he gave Christ to those who believe in him to have everlasting life.
Yeah.
Like, really?
They
have it to where it's just a little phrase.
Amen.
And make it just about love now. Love. Just love.
Just love everybody.
Yeah.
John 3:16, if you will, and that's what Alfonso is referring to. It's intense, and it's very. It requires an action on our part. The word "believe" is simply translated. If you have an amplified version of the Bible, I love the way it translated. Right, David? Real quick, but it word that cling to, follow, adhere. To where there is an action on my part that it's not just something that I cognitively agree with. I know that's it's something that I get on board with. I am on board with who Jesus is simply because of the very truth that I need him. I need him. And we all need him. Every single one of us. And that's why it's so imperative that we understand as God sent Jesus. Yes, to save us, to seek out, to bless us, but he sent Jesus to deal with sin. So,
the other thing that's left out is judgment.
Yeah. That is what I referred to as let's redefine God, because surely if God is loving, he's definitely not judging. I mean, he's not going to send anybody to hell. I mean, and here's one of the most popular lines I hear of the ignorant, and that's all it is. It's out of pure ignorance. Is, well, if God doesn't take me the way I am, just as I am, then I don't want to be there anyway. Because if that's the kind of God that's up there that has this strict requirement to get in, then I'm just not on board with that anyway. And that's really, really a sad state of an affair of a mindset, that to go all that way and to go through this, and that's the best you can come up with. I just pray, because there's nothing that even in my words, and unless there's something that the Holy Spirit gives me directly, it's like, whoa. I wanted to make it just short and straight to the point. Is so I'm going to turn to a passage of Scripture to sum this up. Yes. Absolutely. Yeah. Should we give you a mic?
No, I don't need a mic.
Okay.
What you are suggesting has been demonstrated to us since we have been in this building.
Hmm. Amen.
Now, the truth is, the darkness drives them out. And I'm saying all that to say that in my own life, I've learned that when the Lord tries to move me into the light, there's a strong, strong resistance on my
Amen.
Part.
Amen.
And sometimes we need to move into that area that is very uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. And I appreciate that. As Glenn, the founding pastor of this whole thing, being very transparent about it, that it's a struggle that every one of us deal with. It really is a struggle of light and darkness. When it's so simple that Jesus has taken care of it, so the struggle is on our end to simply surrender to the light and give up that thing that we struggle with, that darkness. And the thing is that we get really deceived. We allow ourselves to get deceived in it, and there's it can even be a comfort in that darkness, almost a self-righteous an approval that I get by staying in something that is even demeaning, or that keeps me where I feel like that's where I belong, that's what I deserve, and that's delusional, that's deception. And that's not the truth. The truth is that Jesus has set us free. Amen. In truth, he said he came in grace and full of grace and truth. Do you realize that full of grace and truth, full of grace, there's nothing that you and I could do, past, present, future, that can supersede his grace? Do you guys realize that? Do I realize that? I pray it. There's absolutely nothing that supersedes his grace. His grace trumps it all. Man, that's awesome. That's the gospel. And that's why we, yes, just align ourselves, agree with it. And as we agree with it in our mind and say yes to Jesus, then get our feet walking in that light. It's a battle sometimes, absolutely, with every single one of us, because sin is deceiving. And the Bible even says that sin is even fun sometimes. For a short time. That's part of the deception too. Sin is dealt with at the cross of Christ. Hallelujah. Let's not redefine it. Let's not... Because here's the... I'm going to go back to real quick, and I'll get to the last passage of Scripture that I want to deal with. Being justified through Christ is a really good thing. That's a good deal, guys. There's no better deal on the planet from beginning to end that exists for you and I. Being justified by the work of Jesus Christ. You guys hear that? There's no better deal out there. Amen. Amen. You know, because here's when we start to try to do things, and what we're doing is we're saying that justification of Jesus, God in the flesh, isn't really good enough. So I'm going to redefine, and I'm going to try to attain my justification by myself. And, you know, and here's what I'll do. I'll justify, and using the word intentionally, I'll justify my sin by saying, well, it's a principle thing, or it's you know, you don't know the hurt that I had, that they had put in my life, so forgiveness, heck no way am I going to forgive them, no way am I going to let them back in my life, no way am I going to subject myself to that again. And I justify anger and bitterness and resentment. I justify it. Do you guys hear what I just did? Oh, I did that. None of you do that, though. You guys are all good. But I do that. And when I do that, I take that justification of my own, and it's putrid to God. Because he's saying, I paid the price already, son. Why are you trying to do this in your own way, in your own manner, in your own shape and form? When I did it, I paid it. Just walk in the light. The darkness will take care of itself. It'll just go. Oh man, that faith, that trust in God's ways. Every step of faith in God's ways, though, strengthens your next step. Man, that's so cool. That's so cool. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sure. Amen. Yeah.
And he said, if I say, surely the darkness will cover me, and the light around me will become like night, even the darkness is not dark to
Yeah.
The night is bright as the day, and darkness is as light to
me. Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah. Do if you will, a word study on darkness, and you'll find some interesting things. How even in the beginning that God created, and he says that darkness hovered, darkness, and it's like, what did that look like? Before, as God spoke everything into existence, all that existed was darkness. Ha! And by the word of his mouth, light penetrated it, and it left. We can't even, it's, you know, let's just leave it there, because we'll, in that perfect state, in a perfect body, we'll, in mind and spirit, we'll get it. Until then, we just got to believe it. I got an extra minute. No, I don't. I'm just going to take an extra minute. Going back to even when we justify our sin, we remove that work of Christ from being able to take care of it. Yeah. You guys understand that? No, I mean it. I mean, do we really get that? When I justify my sin, I just now have taken a step over here that it's outside of the grace of Christ, of Jesus, and now I'm dealing with it in my own way or form or shape. And it could be so subtle. We could do it in so many different ways. Last week, and I dealt with the issue of tattoos and how that can be so easily justified. You know, oh, here's one way we justify it, by tattooing, you know, scripture on ourselves, because that's, you know, that's justifiably okay. So we do something that's outside of his parameters of blessing and protection and rightness for our life, and we use it and we justify it. The Lord showed me something this week that I think it was like interesting, and I'll just share it with you guys. Is the thing that is a permanent mark on our body, people that justify that usually have an issue in they usually will, and this is not always the case, but there's also justification for sexual sin in their life. Because what are they justified in the permanent of my body, they've also justified in the permanent on their soul. Interesting. And the Lord showed me that, and I'm like, and I'm not saying that everybody's got a tattoo who's got sexual issues, but there is... But I will say this, be honest and real and right with God, that I will say this, that people that have given over to having tattoos usually have some issues that are underlying that they don't even see. And we've justified it being okay without dealing with the issue that's down in the heart and the soul. Talk to some people that have dealt with this rightly. David Holder is one. This other man over here is another one. George Layton is another one. Talk to them who've dealt with it, I believe, in the Spirit of God, and you'll get some real, real down-to-earth, heartfelt, nitty-gritty answers. And I believe there's no justification for the stuff. It's just they're dealing with it, and they're honest about it. Spend that time on your own. Yes. Well, if I could tattoo a head of hair on my head, I'd probably do it. And you know what? I would justify it completely and totally. I'm just kidding. Now, let's move on. Ralph, real quick.
Yeah, David was a man after God's own heart. And the reason was that when he was accused, he said guilty as charged. He took responsibility for his sins.
Yeah. And that's the heart of the issue that I want us to see in any area of our life, every area of our life, such as me driving and sitting at a stupid stoplight that nobody's at. That's an area of my life. Life is made up of moments.
You keep meddling, you're going to talk about speeding.
I wouldn't dare go there. Wouldn't dare go there. But this is life, and this is real. And if Jesus is real, let's break it down to this: if Jesus is more than just a historical movement, in other words, an abstract teaching that we get out of the Bible, if he's more than that, then the stuff that Jesus did, is it real? Did he really come to deal with sin? Absolutely. My hope is that he dealt and he's dealing with my sin. I've got to lay it at his feet. I got to bring honesty. I got to bring it to him. Well, amen. But I gotta look at my sin and say, here it is, Jesus. Instead of saying, my sin's not that bad. Don't worry about it. Deal with other people that are a lot worse than I. No, I gotta deal with me. That's what I gotta answer. Hello? Let's go. I'm gonna read this passage of scripture and I'm gonna finish really fast. No, it's not. Come on, Eric. Let's do this. First John chapter 3, verse 1, starting in there. Love this passage of scripture. You gotta get all the way to the end because it gets a little... during the middle of it, a little difficult. It says, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. Amen? Okay, let's go on. Verse 2. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. In other words, in dealing with it again, the only way to go through the process of purification is to deal with the issues that are dirty. Right? Or, you know, we can't redefine our dirty and call it not dirt when it's dirt. Verse 4, whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. And this word commit is continuously committing. In other words, gives over to it, sells out to it. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him there is no sin. For whoever abides in him does not sin, and whoever sins has neither seen him nor known him. That's the continued sinning. In other words, our justification is in Christ alone, not in you getting rid of and dealing with your sin on your own. Hello? Are you guys following that? Because get that, because that's really important. Don't get stuck on, what do you mean sin? You can't sin? Come on, don't go there. Even though I just took you there. Okay, get out of there. Verse 7, little children, let no one deceive you who practices righteousness. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. He who sins and practices sin is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. For this purpose Jesus came, the Advent, was born of a virgin, perfect, sinless, gave his life to destroy the works of the devil. What is the devil's works? Yeah. He's just bad. Yeah. Bad. Bad, bad, bad. Anything bad, it's of him.
He's worse than bad.
Yeah, but he likes to get you to sin, and he destroyed that work. Jesus came to destroy that work. He did it. And guess what? It worked.
It worked.
What Jesus did, he succeeded. He didn't flop, he didn't fail, he didn't miss his shot. He nailed it, literally. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So if the reason that God came through Jesus is to destroy the works of the devil, and the specific is dealing with this sin in our own lives, he says it very clearly. Whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil, for the devil has been sinning from the beginning. So the works of the devil that Jesus came to destroy is the work of sin. Two times in that passage, John tells us that Christmas happened. The Son of God became human to take away our sin, to destroy the works of the devil. So if those twice, in those two times, he's dealing with it, very perfectly. I'm challenging us this Christmas. Make this very personal. Make the work that Jesus did very personal. Let's not make this work of Jesus some abstract teaching, some abstract story. Get real, get right. Your sin, your conflict with sin has been dealt with. We just have to come into the light. Simply that simple. Simply that simple. So let us not justify it in our own merits. I hate to tell you this, all of us, and I tell myself, my heart isn't good enough to be right with God on its own. It's just not. And I get told all the time that, man, what a heart of gold you have. I was like, oh, you have no idea. You have no idea what goes on in this heart. I have no idea what goes on in this heart. I need Jesus. I need Jesus, and I need Him very, very, very much involved in my life. You need Jesus very, very much involved in your life. Next statement, really quick, last one, really fast. I'm not even going to finish my notes. Is this. At the extent that we allow Jesus to come into our lives and deal with us, restore us, deal with us, love us, and it's all in love, is the extent that you are bringing Jesus into others' lives. Think about that for a second. Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you for your grace, your mercy. Oh, thank you, Jesus, that your mercy doesn't actually give me what I do deserve. And your grace covers everything. We give you glory, honor, and praise. And we ask you to come into every area of our lives. Just infiltrate it, just penetrate it relentlessly. We invite you to come after us. And we thank you that your love for us is even beyond our understanding or our imagination. But you give us taste, you give us a glimpse. We thank you that your grace covers it all. And thank you for coming into our lives. Even this very moment that you've spoken to us, you've revealed yourself to us, your love for us. May we take that and give it to others. In Jesus' name be glorified. Amen. Amen.